and for what he is doing in our midst. Amen. Can you sense the love? Can you sense the commitment and just the zeal of the house? Just consuming us, you know? And it's okay. I think we need some AC here. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Now, I'd like us to really focus on what I'm just about to share here, because this past week, the Lord, in his sovereignty, visited me in a very, very special way. And the message, not to say that the messages that I've been preaching on this pulpit never emanated from the Lord, but this one, I'm very, very certain that it came from the Lord and is supposed to be directed to our hearts. Amen? So I would beseech you by the mercies of the Lord to be attentive. Okay? Be attentive to what the Spirit of God is speaking, because the Spirit of God wants to communicate something into our hearts. Amen? And so if you have your children, make sure that they are tied down to the chair. Do not allow yourself to be distracted. If they want to move, they can move about. But please, for the next few minutes, I would like you to give me your attention. Amen? And the Lord is going to minister to us. Many generations that have passed would envy the time that we are living in. We were, during the course of attending Bible study, the last time I believe I attended Bible study, we were talking about the Levites and the ordinances that took place, you know, what they used to do to sacrifice for the sins that took place in their midst, and how they would gain their right to God. And if you've never, I know the book of Leviticus is a little bit boring, you know, boring. I mean, the word of God is not boring, but I know from our standpoint as human beings, when you read it, is about rituals and rituals and rituals. And many times you want to read something that is interesting, okay? But you read about, this is what they were supposed to do for this sin. They were supposed to offer sacrifices. They were supposed to offer blood, and it was supposed to be done in a certain way. And the priest had to be there at certain position himself in a certain way. In other words, there were rules and regulations that accompanied their journey of faith. And if they had an opportunity to look into the future, into the position where we are today, they would long to be in these times. But I thank God, because nothing on this planet happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. It is by the grace of God that you're living in such time as this, in the dispensation of grace. Somebody say grace. In this dispensation, the law of the Lord has been written into the hearts of men. No longer is the law written on tablets. We are not supposed to go on a war to just scheme and to see, okay, these are the commandments that we are supposed to do. We are supposed to go into the scriptures. But even as we go into the scriptures, the law has been tabulated into our hearts, so that whenever you are doing something, there is something within you that tells you this is the right thing for you to do. This is the wrong thing that you are doing. And it imprals your heart to either disconnect yourself from it, because you know, as particularly if you know the Lord, you know that this is not in my arena of business. I'm not supposed to be involved in such affairs, because where I am with the Lord, there are certain constitutions, there are certain administrative parameters that I'm supposed to operate under. The law has been written in the tablets of our hearts. Praise be to God. And they would long to be living in such times. But you know what? Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance, as long as, particularly if you know the Lord, nothing happens by chance. Particularly if you're a human being, nothing happens by chance. I don't even care how you came to America, but it was designated from the foundations of the earth that you'd be in the greatest nation on the earth at such time. This. You may have gone through the embassy 5 times like I did, and they denied you visa, but ultimately somebody stamped on your passport and gave you a green light to be in the United States of America. Think about the so many billions that we have in the world today. fighting and pulling and pushing, and they want to be in this great land. And every time they have an opportunity to go into their consulate, you know, they are never given access to come into this great land in which you are in. It takes the grace of God. And nothing happens by chance. You're not here by chance. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, you're not here by chance. The things that happen to any human being, sometimes we with our own weaknesses, with our own human mind, we might perceive them as accidental, or something happened. Oh, you know, we raise questions. Why did I involve myself in this career? Why did I get married to this person? Why did God give me this kind of children? But nothing happens by chance. Oh, Jesus. Back in 2001, I was 2 years in America. And when I arrived here, I found people they were all engrossed in the care business. And most of us, you know, even today, most people, particularly people who come from Africa or other parts of the earth, I mean of the world apart from the United States, are involved in the care business. You know, the taking care of the people, taking care of old people, taking care of the sick people. It is a good endeavor. You know, but in my heart, I felt I needed to pursue something different. And I felt that I would want to learn how to drive these big rigs. They fascinated me for some reason. I've never seen an equipment like an 18-wheeler just zoom at 70 miles an hour. I never saw anything like that. You know, for some of you who came from Kenya, the trucks that we used to saw there, they were going like a snail, and they would go, and it moved so like a snail. And then when I came up here, this equipment, man, they're dashing and they're competing with cars. I was fascinated. I said, I would want to be in one of those. And cut a long story short, I found a school down in Fort Worth. They enrolled me. And even though they skimmed in, they conned me about $6,000 to enroll. I ended up with a CDL. Just 1 year later, God blessed us with Susie, who you all know. And Catherine told me, I cannot check on this girl by myself. You have to come off the road. And I said, I just got this CDL. Anyway, finally, cut a long story short, I come out of the road and I find I find a job with the Citigroup where I was a customer service representative. Listen to me. Nothing happens by chance. And I go into this wonderful, beautiful organization, this corporation, and they're really articulate in the way they train you. They're really to the T. I mean, they put the dots to the I, cross their T's, and everything is so articulate that I'm trained how to deal with people. And I said, oh God, this is a diversion, a complete diversion from what I thought I would do. And I'm learning how to deal with people. I'm taught to have leadership skills. I'm taught how to talk to the customers over the phone. And I became so good in the business that every single week I was getting a gift card. $50, $100, $100. You know, until I was the envy of the people that we were working together. I became so good. Certificates of 50, they were just flying towards me. And I said, wow. I was talking so nice to people. Yes, please. Yes, sir. I learned the importance of attaching a name to a person. Huh? Hello, I'm just delivering somebody right now. Attaching a name to person, addressing them by their first names. Have you ever held a conversation with people, especially people who are married back in the day? Not here in the church. Here we don't practice those things. And they say, if they want to go somewhere, they say, oh, we went with this one. You know, we went with this one. And when you translate it in our dialect, it really doesn't come out nice one. You know, this one. How do you say that? Yeah, you know, we are going with this one. We went with this one. It's like there's nothing, you know. It's like you don't even have anything connected to that person. I learned the significance of attaching a name to somebody. Are you listening to me? If you're married today and your husband doesn't even have a pet name for you, come on, squeeze them and tell them, hey, you need to begin to have a pet name for me. No longer am I going to, I refuse to be addressed as this one. You are a person by your own right, and your mother gave you a name. If they don't call you honey, or they don't call you sweetheart, or they don't call you macrophia, or they don't even call you machungwa or whatever, tell them to call you your first name. Yeah, call me Sister Anne. If by any chance, if you cannot call her and by sweetheart, call her Sister Anne. She'll be fine with it. Addressing people by their first names. Huh? I don't even know why I'm going here. Are you listening to me, church? I learned these things and they were so profound to me. And later, I didn't even know why all these things were, but how I became good at it. And then after a certain time, I felt it was time for me to move. And when I moved, I moved into the business arena whereby I was introduced by Brother Gideon. Is Brother Gideon here? Brother Gideon, I see Ruth there. You can go tell him I said about him. He introduced me into the business of delivery. Delivering packages from here to there. Let me tell you. Later, much, much later, I said, now, what is all this? I want to tell you, 5 years down the road, I came and said, I earned this CDL. I've been paying for 6,000. Little did I know that I would go back to the first thing that I first trained in and that it would become the source of my support to the work of the ministry and supporting my family. Praise be to God. Nothing happens by chance. When I'm the knowledge that I acquired from Citigroup helps me to deal with the people every single day. When I'm dealing with customers, when I'm dealing with the members, when I'm dealing with the members of different organizations, when I'm dealing with my brothers and my sisters like you, I'm addressing you by your first name. I don't say this one. Go and pray. You this one. Go and pray for this. Your miracle is going to come. No, I'm not going to say that. Have you ever heard me say that? I always call you Tony Tone. That is my pet name towards you. Tony Tone, you can make it. Sister Charity, you can make it. I don't say this one, you can make it. Don't address people with their first name. So nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by an accident. You're married to the person you're married to because God designed and designated it from the foundations of the earth. Are you listening to me? I've had people give testimonies, you know what? Oh, you know what? I was involved in this and I was involved in that until I stumbled into God. Have you ever had people give testimonies like those? I was involved in this kind of a thing. I was involved in the other kind of a thing until I stumbled into God. Let me tell you, to be honest with you, as a human being, fellow human being, that is treasonable even to have uttered those words from your mouth. We don't stumble into God. God is in the business of seeking us. The Bible says in the book of Luke that he came to seek those that were lost. He came to seek those that were lost and to save the lost. Praise the Lord. He came to seek us. We were lost in sin. And we were desperate and we didn't even have a point of abode, but God continually sought us. How can we just declare that, you know what, I stumbled into God when he says in his word, just before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew you. Praise the Lord. Before your parents came together, before even they decided that we would want to have a son, before they decided they would want to have a daughter, God thought about you. And he saw the times where he would pursue you. Praise be to God. Oh, glory to Jesus. God has been pursuing me way, way back, even before I was formed in the womb of my mother. And when I came into this world, he never stopped to seek me. He never stopped to pursue me. He has been pursuing 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 you. He has been pursuing you. Glory be to Jesus. It could have been maybe through a preacher. It could have been maybe through the gospel from the radio. It could have been through the gospel from the TV. But essentially, God has been pursuing us. Glory be to Jesus. He has been pursuing us. And you remember that time when he came and when you surrendered your life to Jesus. For me, I remember that he came through my mother when she told me that verily, verily, I tell you unto you, son, unless you're born again, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Engrossed in religion, I was engrossed in a structural denomination. And I used to attend mass every day. And I used to do everything that was possible. And I knew that I was in the right path until My mama came and told me that unless you give your life to Jesus, didn't know what getting born again was, didn't even know what it meant to be born again, didn't even know, hadn't even seen people who were born again and what they would do. But when my mama told me that and he led me into the scripture, I believe that the Lord beckoned me. He said, gotcha. It was a gotcha moment, and the Lord came into me and I surrendered my life unto the Lord. And you can vividly remember that day when you surrendered your life to the Lord, the conviction that led you into those tears that streamed down your cheeks, and you felt a conviction and you felt that, you know what, this is it. I cannot do any by myself any longer. I have to submit before the Lord. And you gave your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me up to that point? This is exactly what happened. As the Lord continued to pursue you, and when he finally got you, no one comes in connection with the Father. No one comes in connection with the Savior and fails to see his inner, the situation of his inner heart. You are convicted, even though nobody ever told, could have never told you that you were a sinner. You saw the things that you did wrong. And you knelt down and you gave your life to Jesus. And as you surrendered your life to the Lord, he said, you are mine. I will never let you go. Praise be to God. In the book of Hosea, we are not going to read a lot in the book of Hosea today, but we shall be dwelling in the book of Hosea later through this series. This is what the Bible says, Hosea 2. Chapter 19, verses 20. Listen to what the Bible says. Hosea 2. By the way, I would implore you to go and read the book of Hosea from the first chapter. Read the book of Hosea. How many people are going to do it? Promise me. Please, go read the book of Hosea. And this is what the Bible says. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness. And in justice, in loving kindness, and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. In other words, what Hosea is telling us here in the second chapter, verse 19 to 20, he is saying, I will be engaged to you. The moment I get hold of you, I will be engaged for you. I will disconnect you from unrighteousness. I will be disconnect you from injustice. And I will hook you up with my justice. I will hook you up with my righteousness so that you now shall will become my righteousness. Praise be to God. And I will betroth you in me. I will betroth you to me in righteousness as in injustice. I will betroth you in loving kindness. I will disconnect you from the things that are not connected with love. And I will connect you. I will connect you with my love. Praise be to God. I will connect you with my compassion. I will connect you with my faithfulness. Then after you do that, you will know me. This is exactly what, this is the analogy of it. He disconnects you and he makes you a position whereby he connects you with a conduit. So that you will transmit what is in him to other people. Are you listening to me? That is the main reason why God says, I will disconnect you from unrighteousness. I will disconnect you from injustice. I will disconnect you from things that are not related to mercy. I will disconnect you from unfaithfulness and put a conduit within you that connects you from me and you so that you can transmit it to other people. Glory be to Jesus. That is exactly what he means. Now, when you read the book of Hosea, God gives Hosea a mandate, some instructions that are troubling. And I don't want to dwell into it because I want us to first of all, just go a little bit. But I just want to give you just a foundation because we are going to check out the book of Hosea. The children of Israel were disconnected from the very first love, and they pursued their own things. They pursued the created things and they deserted the Creator. They were involved in idolatry. Do you know what idolatry means? Idolatry is where you completely devote yourself to the created things other than the Creator. Praise be to God. Things that God has blessed you with, things that God has given to your disposal. It could be money. It could be a business. It could be your career. It could be anything that God has put to your disposal. As you occupy this land, God has blessed you with so many things. Now, when you dedicate in a larger percent to the things that God has given you more than the blesser, then we are involved in idolatry. And what happens is, the things that they gained through malpractices, and the things that they gained out of corruption, the things that they gained out of things that were not related to God, God put a curse on them. The Bible says, if you read in chapter 2, and I don't want to preempt what the Bible says or what we shall discuss later, that he dried their vineyards. Why? Because they bought those vineyards with things that were not connected, that were not godly. He caused there to be a forest into the things that will bring a livelihood into their lives. And God instructs Hosea to get married to a prostitute just to pass on the message to the children of Israel of what he feels when they would be involved in this other kind of a relationship. Because the moment they knew God, and the moment they would dedicate themselves to God, and the moment they would completely yield themselves to God, God would completely also yield himself to them. And he continued to pursue them. And he says in the portion of the scripture in the book of Hosea, that in this place, when Hosea gave birth to children through the woman, the prostitute that God instructed her to marry, he gave them children. And the names of those children, he said, I give the name to this child that you've bore with this woman, because in this day I have rejected Israel. Later on, the Bible says that in the same place where I have rejected Israel, I will accept them to myself. Praise be to God. That in the same place I pronounce a rejection of Israel, in this same place, I will accept them. In other words, God is never tired. It doesn't matter who has gone too far for God not to reach out. We have not gone too far for God not to reach out. All God wants us to do is turn back and remember and see the place from where we have digressed. Praise be to God. It's very easy to digress, and it's very easy to respond to the things that appeal to our eyes, things that appeal to our ears. The created things have an amplitude to be used by the enemy to be attractive to us. You know, the things, you might be having a car and you might be adoring this car. There is somebody that I come by every Sunday morning, and every time I'm zooming by his house, he's, you know, you can tell he's a old man, but he is really, you can see, with a piece of clothes every Sunday. In fact, let me tell you, only today I think I didn't see. Every other time I see him, every time I'm passing here, he's really, you know, you can tell the way he is, you know, cleaning his car. The rims are always clean, you know. And you can, there's no doubt in my mind that this man, if you'd really play with that car, he can kill you. The way he articulates, he takes care of it. I'm not saying that you do not take care of the resources God has given you. But when it goes beyond the boundary of you adoring the blessing, then we are crossing the line that the Lord has put on the ground. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to occupy, but even as we occupy, as we enjoy the blessings, not to forget the blesser, not to forget the one who has bestowed us with those blessings. Are you listening to me? Glory be to Jesus. And so the Lord says, I will be betrothed to you. I will be married to you. When you are in a marriage, as long as it has been pronounced, you get into a covenant and you're bound by the laws of that marriage, that you're going to be committed to the precepts and to the constitution has been set in that marriage. As long as your partner is alive, you shall be engaged to the principles of what you came down together in that marriage. Praise be to God. The Bible, Paul admonishes in the book of Romans, he says that anybody whose partner dies and they marry to another person according to the law, then they're committing adultery. And he is speaking this in a mirror image of displaying how what happens when we get married to the Lord, and once we are not committed to the constitution, to the covenant which we engaged ourselves in, that when we digress, the Lord feels bad about it. Praise be to God. In the book of Matthew 16, 13 to 19, I would like us to read there. Matthew 16, 13. Matthew 16, 13 to 19. Matthew 16, 13 to 19. This is what the Bible says. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. 15, he said to them, "But who do you say I am? Who do you say the Lord is?" I'm asking you, church, who do you say the Lord is? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed these things to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise be to God. 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." I'll give you the keys of what? The kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in where? In heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is exactly what the Lord has done to you. When we are betrothed by Him in marriage, He gives us power and authority. He gives you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. He gives you the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, to do what? To bind and to loose. What do you mean? What do you understand by binding and loosing? What do you really understand by that? Binding and releasing. It means He has given you power to permit certain things to take place here on earth. Praise God. And He has also given you power to forbid things from happening. Glory to Jesus. He has given you power to permit certain things happening. That means things that are happening today that ought not to be happening, we can speak a word in the heavenly places and we can forbid them from happening. That is what it means by Him giving us the key of the kingdom of heaven. Praise be to God. He has given us power to stop and to release. Glory be to Jesus. Tell somebody that I've been given power to stop and to release. You've been given power to stop and to release. You've been given power to permit and to forbid. What are the things that are happening in your family? What are the things that are happening in your life? What are the things that are happening in your career? The things that people are doing to you and you have allowed them for too long to take place. God has given you the power to stop those things. God has given us power to forbid those things from happening. And the Bible says that whatever He has given me, the key of the kingdom of heaven, to bind and to loose. And whatever I bind here on earth, it is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose here on earth, it is loosed in in heaven. There are some blessings that we are not enjoying right now because we have not released them from heaven. And this is exactly what happened when you release a blessing from heaven. It might be a need that you have, but you can speak into the heavenlies and command a blessing to come down to you. What happens is that when you speak a blessing into heaven to be released into your life, God immediately releases that blessing, and it is hovering somewhere in the spiritual realm. You may not see it, you may not even witness it, but the fact that you asked it, that blessing is something is coming, swinging slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly towards you. But I want you to listen. The moment that blessing is released, you're not going to receive it without a fight. Because the devil doesn't want you to enjoy any kind of blessing that the Lord has designated for you. Remember Daniel? When he prayed for a prayer concern and God released the answer, what did the Bible tell us? That the princes in the high places, the demonic agents, started fighting his answer. But he was engaged in a spiritual warfare. He never stopped to pray for 21 days. That even though he was praying for 21 days, the answer was released the very first time that he prayed for it. This is exactly what happened. It could be you are looking forward to pursue a career in whatever field, and you're asking God, release the finances. When you tell God to release the finances out of a relationship that you have with your father, because he has connected you with righteousness, connected you with justice, connected you with mercy, connected you with compassion. He releases that answer. Praise be to God. I want you to know the power that is in a believer. I want you to understand the dynamis, the power, the activating power that is in a believer. That if today we can together join our hands and agree on certain things concerning America, they will come to pass, because we in our tongues lays the power to forbid certain things and to stop and to permit certain things, to release certain things. And the moment we release them down here, they are released in heaven. Listen to me. It works. Write your vision on the wall. Even though it tarries, it shall come to pass. We have not because we have not done what? We have not because we have not asked. And when we ask with wrong motives. What is it to tell God that, God, I am tired seeing all these kinds of sins going on in our city called Dallas. I pray that in the name of Jesus that you shall send the laborers on the field. And I pray that men and women will be activated by the word of God. And they will go out into the field and share the word of God and share the gospel. Send me also, Lord, as I speak the word of God. I pray that you shall give me the boldness. I pray that I take captive and you have told me that any ground that I step on, I shall possess. I possess this office. Anybody who works in this organization, I possess them to the oracles of God. I possess them. I pray that they will not prevent the word of God from getting into their hearts. We can pray certain things. Let me tell you, you can change organizations. I was working in a company called Great White one time, and let me tell you, I was pronouncing the blessings of God every single morning I went to work to that work. I will say that, God, I pronounce your blessings over this company. I pronounce your blessing over this company. Let me tell you, man, you know what? I know probably other people are praying, but when I saw the things that were happening, I had no alternative, or I didn't have any other thing of thinking that maybe it's just because of the way they were so articulative. But I saw God giving them businesses. We were busy every single time we were going. We could not even handle the kind of contracts that they were giving us. And let me tell you, the first time I came out of that company, the boss, first of all, was fired. I'm telling you the truth, he was fired. There are certain things in your company God will do in your company just because you're there. There are certain things that God will do in your family just because you are a member of that family. God honors the words of his children. When you speak a word into the atmosphere, it has a creating power. Somebody say a creating power. Your words never are wasted. Your words are never wasted. When you speak those words, especially when they come from your heart, concerning your husband, concerning your child, concerning your wife, concerning the place where you're connected with, something will happen. Praise be to God. And as we come from this scripture where Jesus says that I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven to bind and to lose things on heaven and on earth, I want us to go into a journey with Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6. The Bible says, if you go in the book of Isaiah chapter number 6 verse 1, the Bible says that there was a king called Uzziah. And Uzziah had ruled the kingdom where he was ruling for 52 years. And Isaiah is a young prophet. And a time comes whereby, when I was checking it out, I saw that King Uzziah was smitten. He died. All that Isaiah knew was King Uzziah. And a time comes when Uzziah died. And the Bible says that when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And I saw him high and lifted up. Glory be to Jesus. And the train of his robes filled the temple. Now I want you to notice that this was a panoramic view of Isaiah, God allowing Isaiah to see what was happening in the temple, into the heavenly temple. If you read the book of John, chapter number 12, verse 40, you will see that he was seeing the panoramic view of Jesus. And when Isaiah sees this, he sees Jesus sitting on the throne. And the throne is so beautiful. He sees this King Jesus highly lifted up on the throne. It was a beautiful sight for Isaiah to witness, looking at Jesus, who was, I believe he was seeing in the future, Jesus having come out of the world and having suffered for the sin of humanity, now elevated. He is not seeing him as a priest, but he is looking at him as Lord. One who has an abundance of supply. One who is not limited with the protection. One who has an abundance of everything that we need here on earth. He is looking at the majesty and the glory of this King. And this is, as I told you, this is exactly what happened. And he is seeing also some angelic beings worshiping the Lord and declaring, "Holy, holy, holy, the one that is and the one that is to come." Some of these angelic angels we have never seen. The Bible says that they had three sets of wings, two wings covering the feet and two wings covering the eyes, and the other set of wings were flapping. And every time there was one with a voice that cried, "Holy, holy, holy, the one that is and the one that is to come." And as they say this voice begin to speak, the post of his door was shaking and everything within where he was shaking. Now notice, as Isaiah is witnessing this panoramic view of who Jesus was, he said, "I am not even worthy to stand here. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King." The Bible says that, "Woe unto me, I am undone." In other words, I'm not even worthy to behold what I'm beholding, because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people that is unclean. Now, this is a prophet who is speaking before the presence of the Lord. And this is exactly what happens when you come in contact with the Lord. He reveals what you are and things that you've been into. And he reveals how far you have digressed from his love. And he is beckoning on you, revealing that you need a Savior. You cannot do without him. And when you are surrendering your life unto the Lord, he makes you feel that it is okay for you to have digressed, and it is okay that everything will be okay. And as Isaiah is looking unto this panoramic view, and as he feels the way he's feeling about himself, listen. One of the seraphims picks up a coal. The Bible says a hot coal with some tongs. And because he has realized his condition at this particular time, that seraphim picks up a hot coal with some tongs and brings it and touches his lips. The Bible says, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Lord, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity has been taken away, and thy sin has been forgiven. Praise be to God. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 23, verse number 29, my word is like fire. Praise be to God. My word is like fire. It's not my word like fire, says Jehovah, and like a hammer that shatters a rock into pieces. When we come into connection, when we connect ourselves to the Lord, it is the word of God that comes into contact with us and sets us free and redeems us from unrighteousness and redeems us from the things that we were doing, and we turn around, we do a 360, and now we are committed in a marriage relationship with God. It's not my word like fire. The tongues of fire touched his lips, and there was a declaration that, you know what, now your sins have been forgiven. Now your iniquity has been taken away from you. And immediately there was a voice that came from the altar. And this is what the voice says. It is said, who shall we send? Glory be to Jesus. Who is qualified to send? We feel the urgency of sending the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But who shall I send? Who shall we send? The us that is spoken in this, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And the man who felt unworthy displayed the boldness that comes out of forgiveness. Listen to me, church. There is a special boldness that comes when you know that you're forgiven. When you feel unworthy, when that coal of fire has touched you, when that word of God has settled into your heart, Sister Monica, when you felt that you cannot even open up your mouth to speak to the homeless, when you felt that these people were so rich and they had everything going around for them, you don't care about their property, you don't care about what is going for them, but you have this special boldness that comes in you. And you're able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And Isaiah says, this man who felt unworthy, this man who felt like running away from the presence of God, he says, send me. Here I am, send me. Praise be to God. In other words, he says, send me. There is a conduit. I'm just a transmitting power. You have connected a conduit between me and you to transmit justice, to transmit righteousness, to transmit holiness to other people. Send me. I am here. The job at hand involved somebody who would be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The business of proclaiming proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ is a very delicate issue, because what is involved is a trailing of some sort. You're removing souls from damnation and bringing them into the light. You're removing souls. Ah, glory be to Jesus. You're banging into the gates of hell. And that's why the Bible says that I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and I will build up my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my kingdom. In other words, you have power. In other words, you have what it takes to bombard on the gates of the devil. Praise be to God. Those gates, behind those gates are prisons. People who are held as prisoners of iniquity, prisoners of adultery, prisoners of so many things. Oh, glory be to Jesus. But the Bible says that I've been given power. Oh, yes, the kingdom, the gates. The gates of the kingdom of Hades shall not prevail against my kingdom. You are the members of that kingdom. Are you listening to me? And you have what it takes. You can shake on those gates of the devil by telling people that Jesus loves you. It might be maybe offering a crying shoulder to somebody. It might be God has called you to be a worker in the kingdom of God, Steve. And you should not worry what you're going to say, because the Spirit of God is resident in you. He has connected you. You are a transmitting power. You are a stronghold by your own self. And God has put everything that you need to tell somebody that you can come out of this kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of light. You can be a gate crusher, a gate bombarder of the kingdom of the enemy. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are you listening to me, church? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is you and me. When we accepted Jesus, we were betrothed to the Lord. The main reason why we were betrothed to the Lord, church, is so that we can be productive. It is so that we can be productive. I'm reminded in Luke 19 about the parable of the talents. When God came and gave the talents to people, and he told them, I want you to occupy until I come. I want you to make sure that you have articulated the gifts that I've given you, because I'm coming soon and I'll require you to show me the productivity. And when he came back, those that had produced with the talents that he had given them, he gave them even more. But to the one that he gave one, and he never did anything, because he said, I'm scared that you are unwrathful master, and you'll come, you know, you plant where you sow. He removed it from him and he gave him a punishment. Are you listening to me? I don't know how far you've gone. I don't know how far you've digressed from the pathway. 2 days ago, the Lord woke me, gave me a dream. I'm not even a dreamer. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not even a dreamer. When I dream, I know it has something that has to do with something. And it is in line with the word of God. In the latter days, I'll give young men to see visions, and people will also, I'll speak to people through dreams. And in these dreams, we were with just I was seeing some brothers here, you know. And they told me, you know what, we need, sometimes it's good to get into a court and see what the proceedings that go on in a court of law. And I get into this court, and people, the judge was really passing out judgments, and he was calling upon people. You know how, what goes in a court, you know, there's this case number that is called. And where I sat, there was this very beautiful, beautiful young lady. And next to her was a man. But when I looked at this, when I looked at the man, you know, how many of you know that you can look at a man and look at a woman and you don't put the two and two together? You see, is that really his brother? Or it could be maybe, is that really her husband? Oh, that's what I felt. I felt, is this really? But I said, well, you know, you never know, you know, people. I mean, sometimes we will hook up, and because sometimes I can look at Julius and I look at Charity, I say they were meant for each other. You know, you can look at Tony Wamboy, you say, God is a matchmaker. You know, look at Stephen and Monica, you say, wow, what a blessing. But you can look at some people and say, wow, I don't know. Well, I don't want to say anything, but that's exactly what I was in a state of, you know, shilly-shalliness. You know, I don't know where to put it, because this guy, you know, had a gold tooth, you know, something. And I think he had an earring. But this lady kept herself. She was really... You know, the way you can look at a really beautiful, well, decent lady, well-dressed, and she had her hair nice, and she looked like she was a career woman. And I wondered, what is this, sorry to use the word, loser doing with this? But I said, you never know, you know, things happen. And then the judge is continuing with his case. And suddenly, everybody started streaming, even the people that we were out together, they were all gone, and I don't even know why I was glued to that chair. And suddenly I see a young 5-year-old who in my dream, I was told that this was a son. There were actually two sons. And one of the 5-year-old, there was an elder one, probably I would say about 7, and a 5-year-old who came to the mother. And this is what she told the mother. I could not see the face of this young kid, but I could tell this kid is well-dressed and well-mannered. And he came, and he was actually speaking with a broken voice. And this is what she said to this woman. Mommy, why are you doing this? And the master is coming in 2 years. Why are you doing this? And it was told me in the dream, in my mind, I was told that the master represented their daddy. And that their daddy had gone out on assignment. I don't know what assignment. It could have been a career assignment. It could be maybe military assignment. But the reason why he was not with them, it was an assignment. Either he was sent by the government, his company, whatever. But it was for a good reason. They were not separated out of nothing. And this mommy said, "Mommy, why are you doing this?" And then in my dream, I was told that he was there trying to divorce his daddy to get married to this guy. Let me tell you. I want to tell you guys that I started crying. In my dream, I started crying. I said, "God, I can't believe why would this very beautiful woman, why would he do this to his children? Why would he want to get married to this guy?" And this is what this woman said. This is what he replied to his son. This is what he said. "You are talking in a kind of a colloquial way. You're talking about the master, and I have a king here." This is what she said. "You are talking about the master." In other words, your daddy who is not here, and I have a king here. And this child went, he was crying. He said, "The master," I still remember these words. This is what he said. "Why, mommy, why are you doing this? And the master is coming in 2 years. Why are you doing this?" And let me tell you, church. I woke up. It was 3:55 in the morning. And you know the way you can wake up from a sleep and you wonder, wow, well, is this real? What is happening? It's like this dream was so vivid. And the first thing in my wakefulness, the Lord told me, "The church." The Lord spoke to me, "The church." It was very clear. I almost had a voice. "This is exactly what the church is doing." And I started crying in that truck in a rest area. I was crying and I didn't know what to do. I started praying. I started telling God, "May you tell me more about this, because this is really..." When I went out of the court, I felt like I didn't want to leave this family. I felt like writing on a piece of note and taking, even though I didn't know this woman who looked modest to me and beautiful and all, I felt like writing a small letter and taking to her and tell her, "Please don't do it. If their dad is coming in 2 years, why would you divorce their daddy for this man?" And immediately when she said these words, this man came and said, "Oh, that's what I'm saying." You know the way they say, "That's what I'm saying. This is my baby. This is my baby. That's what I'm saying," you know. With his gold teeth, "This is what I'm saying." And in my heart, I say, Shindra, what are you saying this?" And church, listen. I felt like writing a small note to tell, "Please don't do it. Please don't do it, because if their master is coming in only 2 years, you've waited this far, but he is coming. This is the daddy, the legal daddy is coming, and these children are telling you the right thing." And the Lord told me, "The church." But we have digressed. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to today. But listen, church, we're in a marriage covenant with the Lord. In this woman's life, in my dream, the Lord has given her benefits. Somebody say benefits. She was already productive. She had already done some things for the Lord. This church had done already some things for the Lord. Why? Because there was evidence. The children. Right? The children was as a product of this woman, and the man was out for 2 years. These were their children. So there are benefits that she had seen. The church has seen some benefits. We have experienced some benefits. The Lord providing, answering our prayer. The Lord giving us a wonderful family. The Lord giving us a position to be in the most articulate, most
great nation on earth where many people would long to be. We have seen the benefits, God giving us a beautiful church where we can come and worship the Lord. We have prayed and God has answered our prayers, but we have really digressed. We have seen, it's like I'm seeing the Lord and I can see his faithfulness and I can count his blessing. But on the same time, I'm looking at the blessings and I can see this beautiful car and I can see the money in the bank and I'm drawn towards this more than I'm drawn to the blesser. I'm drawn so much and until I'm willing, even though I know the benefits, even though God has answered my prayer, yet I see like this blessing is too real. I cannot desert myself from this blessing. This business, this money that many have really longed to have, I adore this money even though I know I have seen some benefits, yet this looks more better. I feel like I want to go back, but I'm so drawn to the lust of my eyes, the things that I see, the things that I hear. I'm so much drawn, but God is saying, if only you know that whatever you, the path in which you're going is going to destroy you. Glory be to Jesus. And Sister Puri told us the other day about the king. Is it Hezekiah? Is it Hezekiah you were telling us about during the Kesha? Manasseh, yes, Manasseh. Of this king, he ruled the nation of Israel. And he introduced sorcery and witchcraft into the city, and he made decrees which led the people astray. Evil king. I mean, you can even think, I don't even think in modern times I've read of a king like Manasseh who did evil things, you know, making covenants with the devil. And it looked like the nation was going downgrade, you know. It was really going south pretty quick, and it was going to be disintegrated. But a point came whereby he called upon the name of the Lord. In spite of the iniquities, in spite of the covenants that he had made with the devil, the Lord remembered him. The Lord remembered him, church. Are you listening to me? The Lord remembered him. The question that I want to pose to you, my brother and my sister, how far have we gone? How far away have we digressed? Have you gone to a point whereby you no longer have any enthusiasm for the things of God? You felt like, you know what, I cannot even find time for God because, you know what, I've done this quadruple. Let me ask you, church, listen to me. And please, I'm not stepping on any stones because I'm preaching to us this morning. You've taken quadruple shifts. And true, you've had money that is worth those four quadruples. But look back, I want you to look back right now in your mental picture and tell me what you have accomplished with those quadruple. Have it not added more misery into our lives? You know, we have concentrated so much on the things that are temporal here, so we have given all. But let me tell you, the Lord is a balance of mathematics. He knows how to balance things. If he did it for the children of Israel when they descended, let me tell you guys, I'm speaking to us. I'm included. God has been ministering to me. How far, my question is, how far have we digressed from the very precepts? Are we still keeping the marriage covenant with God? Or have we been so much enticed with the things that are really perishing and we feel like, you know what? Even though the Son is telling us the Master is coming in 2 years, by the way, I don't even know what 2 years means. Talking to my wife, she was telling me, you know, 1 day is equivalent to 1,000 days. Who knows me? Maybe Jesus is coming in after 2,000 years after he has been gone. It is just a little while and the Master is going to be here. Are you listening to me? The things that we involve in ourselves, I'm not saying that we don't provide for our children. I'm not even saying that we don't take an extra job to pay for a certain debt. I'm not saying that we don't do those things. But when we do those things, let us not desert the blesser. Are you listening to me, church? We need to allocate some time every single day whereby we can maintain the covenant. And how do we maintain the covenant, Brother Willie? It is by spending time with him. It is by articulating and cultivating on the relationship, because God's intention when he called us into the kingdom of God was so that we may propagate the good news to other people. There are so many people in Dallas that are perishing. But how are they going to be delivered if we are not going to go for them? Can I challenge you, church?
I don't even ask you to go downtown because I know it's really impossible for all of us to go downtown. But God has given you an opportunity in your place of work. How do you display yourself? Or how do you carry yourself so that people know that you're a born-again Christian there? What would happen if Pastor Tony, Pastor Julius shows up in your place of work and they realize the things that you are saying? That you just call somebody an animal, you know, with four legs. And yet, when you come here, you lift up your, oh, Jesus, and you close your eyes, you're gone. Yet, you're calling people four-legged animals, two-legged animals with a tail, you know. You know? You're using the language of the day, what other people talk, you know. And you don't care, you know. After all, Pastor Tony is maybe somewhere in Virginia. Doesn't even know what I'm saying. But let me tell you, I may be out of Virginia. Brother Julius might be in SMU, but there's a God who is seeing you. He never leaves your presence. And he wants us to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven 24/7. Do you know what church we can turn around and say, from today, God, I want to be committed to this marriage. I want to be committed. I want to do the works of the Lord. The good thing about it is God does not expect you to like bulldoze and turn, you're coming and do now. You're praying, you're going to services. You can start by one step. If you never prayed in the morning, start dedicating 5 minutes for prayer. Read the scripture maybe once a day, even just a few verses. And you move from that point and you keep on going. When you see somebody, you have, Brother Wanganga, you have what it takes to minister to somebody, to tell them that Jesus loves you. When you speak those words. It is not, listen, the Bible, God, Jesus told the disciples, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, you don't speak those words out of your own accord, but the Spirit of God speaks them on your behalf. And because they emanate out of a generated soul, they have an effective power when they land into the other person. Sister Omboy, you can tell your fellow nurses that Jesus loves you, and you forget about it. But let me tell you, that word will eat them up because it is coming out of a generated soul. Are you listening to me? The words that we speak, be careful the words that you speak. Don't even utter words that are going to curse people because people can be cursed by the words that you speak. Be careful with your words because you've been generated. You've been circumcised. You belong to God. Stand on your feet. I'm sorry. Stand on your feet. We have to conclude. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This is a song that I had this morning and I felt like we just want to sing it along, and it talks about our surrender to the Lord. Glory to Jesus. As this song sings, I want you to meditate upon your life. For some of us, we are in the right path. You know, we've loved, we've done many things, we've loved people who are unlovable, we're on the right track. But some of us, maybe we've digressed and no one is aware of it. But the Lord is, and he wants us to come back. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, here I am. Oh, yes, God. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. Make it a prayer. I surrender. I surrender. Give all, I surrender my life. Give it all to you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, sing along. Surrender to the Lord right now. Surrender your life to God.
I surrender my life. Give it all to you.
Okay. I surrender, Lord. We surrender, Lord. Lift up your right hand unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to lift up your name, Father God. Thank you, Lord, even for this word that came across today, Father God. You desire, Father God, for us to keep the marriage covenant between us and you. We thank you. Come on, just put it down. We just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, because of what you have done in us, Lord. Given us the power, Father, even to crush the gates of the enemy. The Bible tells us, Father God, the kingdom of the devil shall never prevail against your kingdom. And no matter what we are involved in, oh Lord, you just want us to lift up a cry before you. Father God, where we have digressed, Lord, we want to come back to the crossroads in the name of Jesus. And Lord, when you speak to me, Lord, about this message, oh Father, you told me to bring it to your people. Father God, I pray that we shall respond to your call in the name of Jesus. You're interested in us keeping the marriage covenant in the name of the Lord. We adore you, Lord, and we give you praise. We thank you, Father, because there's no distance that we could have traveled far enough, Father, for your hand not to reach. And Father God, we totally surrender and yield ourselves unto you, Father. You've called us to be productive and to do the works of the Lord while it's still day. For night cometh when no man can do no work. And I pray that we shall be committed, totally committed even to the precepts of your word in the name of Jesus. Father, knock down anything within us, Lord, that might elevate itself against the knowledge of God. Father, we seek knowledge and wisdom, Father God, that you may lead and guide us in all that we do. That our productivity, Father, might be blessed by your glory, by your person in the name of Jesus. I lift up this family, Lord, unto your hands. Father God, you're lifting up this family and taking them to a place of covenant, a place whereby they will have an effect. Their commitment will have an effect, oh Lord, even to our surrounding. We can begin to feel that you're moving our midst, oh God, by the way we love one another and by the way we care for the precepts of your word. And corporately, Lord, I pray that this word will not be stolen by the devil. I put a seal upon it in the name of Jesus. Devil, move your hands out of your people, out of the people of God in the name of Jesus. And let them go to serve their master in the name of the Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father God. I pray against the spirit of counter attack in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the devil that would hinder this word to percolate and to rethink and to be constituted into our systems, Lord. I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. And dear Lord, just as you put it in urgency into my heart, Lord, I pray that you shall seal it in urgency into their hearts in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be here, never given your life to Jesus. And you want to start a walk with him. It is very easy to accept Jesus. Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10 that he knocks on the doors of your heart. If only you believe in your heart, then he can save you. You confess the Lord as the Lord unto salvation and you believe into your heart and he is able to save you. Is there anybody in this auditorium who wants to surrender their lives to the Lord? Lift up your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and thank you for listening to the word of God. I just want to invite Brother Julius. I don't apologize for finishing late because we also came late to church, so I just took my time. But I love you.